A is for Alcoholic is a program about recovery. My name is John, and I'm an alcoholic.
And my name is Jerry, and I'm an alcoholic.
Join us as we go through the alphabet of alcoholism, one letter at a time. I think, you know, it seems like it's jumping ahead when you talk about like 3 years and 4 years. But I think it's really important. This time of year for me is for sure as far as having a sober birthday. I guess we should explain what a birthday is or what it means.
Well, and yeah. Yeah. Well, the sobriety birthday is usually the anniversary of your first day sober. That's at least how I count it. Not my last day drinking. My first day without a drink is my sobriety birthday. I prefer anniversary. I like birthday, but no one's gotten me a cake yet. So I got a birthday pie that I bought. My wife bought me a slice of pie for my birthday. So I ate that. That was
nice.
That was a pretty big different type of celebration than I was typically having on my birthday. You know, my clothes stayed on most of the time. So it was pretty good.
So you just celebrated 4 years, 4 years sober on the 4th of July, 2014.
Yes. And you celebrated 3 years sober on the 6th of July. What is that? Well, 2015.
Well, you're good. The math's good.
Yeah.
It adds up.
Dude, I'm a mathematician, man. Nobody knows this about me.
You know, and one thing that, with the birthdays, and I'll jump ahead here real quick and just say that people think of it differently, because I know that some people will say, well, that's my first day without a drink. And, but some people will, you know, they'll smoke weed or stuff like that, and they won't include that.
Yeah.
People will have, you know, I'll just explain. I mean, I had accidentally taken a bite of some butterscotch pudding that had scotch in it.
Yeah.
And I know that doesn't seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but when you're, you know, only a few months in and you're trying to figure it all out. And I mean, I immediately felt flushed and red, and like, that moment where you're just like, wow, I'm about to get drunk.
Yeah.
And it was just a bite of something that had some booze in it, and my body knew immediately what it was.
Wow.
And I mean my biggest fear was that meant I had to negate my birthday, that
right.
I couldn't have July 6th anymore. And I struggled with it, and I don't think I told anybody for a very long time about it, because I was just so, I felt embarrassed and ashamed, and it was totally a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting here worried that I will have to start all over again because I had a bite of pudding.
Right.
And I think for me, it comes down to intention. I didn't intend to have scotch that day. I didn't intend, you know, to have any alcohol. It was a complete accident.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you shouldn't count that against yourself that you got a pudding buzz, you know, got nice and pudding drunk. Well, my story is, you know, when I first got sober, I actually smoked pot every night for the first like 2-3 months. To deal with the withdrawal from it, because I couldn't sleep and I was sweating buckets and I couldn't sleep. I just had massive insomnia. I mean, even 4 years later, I still suffer from insomnia. I don't think that's post-acute withdrawal, but I did have withdrawal, but I still counted the time without alcohol because my biggest problem was alcohol, you know. And I think you're absolutely right with intention. Everybody's version of recovery is different, you know, and it's really how you do it. As long as you're not drinking or using the drug of your choice. But then again, I can see it being an incredibly slippery slope, especially if you have an addictive personality, to be using other substances. There was a point where I didn't feel like I was physically going through withdrawal anymore, so I stopped, because the marijuana wasn't feeling good. I would just fall asleep, you know. And I thought, when I first came in, when I first got sober, I didn't use any program or anything for the first month. I was just all white knuckles, you know. So I was just like, yeah, I'm not gonna drink, and that's it. I'm just done drinking, and I don't need a program. I'm good. I'll just smoke pot and go to sleep. But I still count that July 4th, 2014, because it was it was alcohol. That was my thing. It wasn't even just my thing. It was like my obsession. It was like my other wife, you know. It was she was a meaner wife too. But yeah, so with me, I feel like I still count myself as on July 4th, 2014. I wouldn't recommend it to someone trying to get sober to smoke marijuana personally. Yeah, it's not something I necessarily regret doing. I still feel like I'm being honest to who I am and what I'm doing. But I also don't want to put it out there in the world and say, oh yeah, smoke some pot, you'll be fine. You know, because that, you know, that may lead to you using again or drinking again. Man, that would suck, especially if you have the intention in your mind to not use or drink. And as far as eating food with liquor in it, I've done that in the past like once or twice. Like I had a flan that had amaretto on it. And then after eating the flan, I was like, was that amaretto? Because that was really sweet. And I remember amaretto not being sweet. It tasted like fucking ass. I hate amaretto. But I remember it being really sweet, so it could have been a liqueur, but I didn't have the physical reaction like you did. I just ate my flan and was stoked that I had flan, you know?
Oh.
So.
Yeah, my pudding buzz was immediate. It was from my tongue to my brain in less than a second. And I was hot and I was flush. And I was at work when they were doing this tasting.
Oh, wow.
And I remember feeling such shame and guilt and not having the time or space to process it.
Yeah.
Cause at that point I had been, you know, I'd been in a 12-step program for I think a couple of months, but my first 2 months were by myself, not doing anything, hiding in my room. I would drink the Crystal Geyser lime sparkling water because it was kind of spicy and tangy and it would burn.
Yes.
And I would imagine that it was like whiskey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
But it was that moment I just freaked out and I had to go to work and there was no time to process. Well, what does this mean? Does this mean I have to start all over? Does that mean I can't have July 6th? Does that mean that I need to, I don't know, but finally came to terms with the fact that the Puddin' Buzz was not going to ruin something that I had started. It was my intention. And, you know, later you come to realize that, at least I came to realize that you do it however you want to do it.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own way of doing it. There are lots of different programs and ways of doing it. But for me, accidentally having some pudding was fine because I wasn't going back for seconds and it was not a good feeling. It was not a joyous, happy feeling at all.
Right. It's not like you ate the pudding and ended up in an underground fight club in Thailand, you know. Just woke up there. Just woke up there punching some guy in the head.
Right.
So in regards to birthdays, do you use your birthday as a time of reflection? Do you honor your birthday with a ritual? Do you feel anxiety? I mean, what do you do a special thing? I guess that's four questions, but let's break it down.
For me, well, this birthday was pretty big.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
I had the intention of, I quit my job.
Yeah.
I was a bartender for 13 years on and off. Well, almost always on. But I quit my job and I got to go out on a date with my girlfriend for the first time in a very long time on a Friday night.
All right.
We went and saw a movie. We went and had dinner. I got some ice cream. I got two scoops of ice cream. It was awesome. That was my big deal. But as far as any sort of rituals or anything around that, for me, it's very subdued. You know, I'm pretty mellow with it. I'll take some time, you know, I'll wake up in the morning and, you know, really think about that moment 3 years ago. And I think that's the biggest thing is that it's not only a celebration of how far you've come and that it's important to remember that because it's very easy to get complacent when you're sober and everything's going well and everything's great and you've got money in the bank and things are good. and you go, well, gosh, it'd be a great day for a beer, and then it's gone, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that it reminds me of the day that I decided to quit, and in turn reminds me of the day before and the reason why I yeah. decided to quit.
Yeah.
So yeah. there's definitely reflection. There's definitely, I wouldn't say any ritual necessarily. I don't burn any incense. I don't do anything special, but I definitely save some time for myself. What about you?
I don't have any. That's bullshit. I do. I totally have a ritual. So I have from the 12-step program in it. I have a coin for 24 hours, and I drill a hole in the coin for every year. So every year, when the year has passed, I take the coin in the garage with a drill and I drill a hole in it. I guess there's some slight reflection, but nothing major. I don't sit down and, like, you know, write it all down in my dream journal or anything like that. Maybe I should. I don't have a dream journal either. But I think, you know, this year my wife and daughter went camping out of town on the 4th of July. I was left all alone to my own devices, which typically in the past would mean that, you know, it was time for a bender. But this time around, I literally had half a piece of pecan pie and played video games, you know, for like hours and hours. And that I just had time to myself, you know. The year before, I went and saw fireworks with my wife and a friend of hers and their kid. And that was pretty intense that year. Just watching the fireworks for some reason became this whole metaphor for like renewal. You know what I mean? Like renewal and like things starting over again. But when I really break it down and look at it, these years are important to me, but tomorrow is more important than the year. You know what? And not even tomorrow, just this 24 hours I have. You know, that my concept of time in 24 hours, because the year is rad. Like I've gone 4 years without a drink, and that's a long time. That's a really long time for a guy like me. But if I can make it to bed tonight without a drink, then I'm really happy, you know. And it's not like I'm desperate. It's not like I'm sitting here fiending for fucking whiskey. It's just, if I can make it through the shitty days and the hard days and the days when things are boring and there's nothing to do without drinking, then, like, I consider that almost a bigger victory than the anniversary itself. Although,
I hear that.
It feels great to get up in a room full of, you know, people clapping and collect a coin, you know, collect a chip.
Yeah.
It does. I did it today, and it was really bizarre. I always become overcome with emotion, and I'm in the what you call the shoe section of the room, you know, in the back with all the sneakers and loafers, you know. And I get the chip and I sit down back there, and I've every time, even from the 24-hour chip up until now, I almost cry like every time. Actually, as a matter of fact, I think I cried the first 3 months I got a chip. I went in the back of the room and cried because I was like, wow, I'm doing this. Like, I did this. If I just keep doing this, like, things can get better, you know. It was
yeah,
it's always crazy, man.
I had a similar experience sitting there, and got what happens is in the rooms when I go in and somebody says they have a birthday, you know, they take the coin, they take the chip, and they pass it around, and there's the one old guy, and he's an old biker, and I love to listen to him talk, but he says, let's pass this around, get some group conscience on it. And so everybody rubs the coin, and you kind of think about it. And this other guy said, I got 18 months today. And so everyone's passing this coin around for 18 months.
Yeah.
And then somebody passes another coin around, but it's the same coin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's my coin? What is this shit? Where's my coin? Why is this guy getting double love? So I went and talked to him, and he said, oh, well, I'm out, and just, you know, give me a call, come talk to me next week. And I had my coin for 2 years, and I said, well, this one still seems to be working. I think it's got a little bit more left, so I think I can wait another week. It's great to sit around, and everyone's excited, and everyone's looking at you, and they're really just happy and proud and stoked. And hey, it's something else. And, you know, there's coins. The guy was talking about was recovery begins with the first sober hour.
Right.
And that moment where you make that decision. And so that's why you know, that's that when I take the moment to reflect on that day on July 6th about where I was that day.
Yeah.
And it's hugely important, but you're right. What about the rest of tonight?
Right.
Cause I mean, I have no intention. I have no desire. I have no craving. I got a craving for, you know, some peanut butter and chocolate ice cream maybe, but I might just,
you got some of that?
That doesn't
stashed away.
I don't have any in the house. No, it's, but you know, you don't wrap your car around a telephone pole because you ate a whole carton of dryers.
Well, yeah, you can't hide like a peanut butter chocolate ice cream like under your bed for later because it all melts. It just turns into rancid milk, you know.
Oh, that would be a rough one. Yeah,
yeah.
You can't have one of those sitting in the toilet tank.
No, you can't. For you. Man, that's pretty gangster, the toilet tank one. But you know, the thing about it is it gets, you know, I really want to emphasize, like, we celebrate these anniversaries because they're milestones in our lives. And the milestone is that hopefully and typically things get better. Things get better. Things get hard sometimes, but they get way better. You know, and that, I think that's mm-hmm. more of any reason why I'd celebrate. It wouldn't be like, oh, I've been sober 4 years and yeah, I've been fucking miserable. Like, I wouldn't want to celebrate that. But I've been like, okay, I've been sober 4 years. There's been some really hard parts and some really great parts. And I'm fucking stoked that I got to see it through clarity. That's what I always say. With clarity. I'm mm-hmm. always grateful for clarity. And that's one of the big things I think. If I do reflect, I don't do it consciously, but that's the one thing I reflect on. Is clarity and
mm-hmm.
improvement. How do I improve my life here? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I know there, I have heard from some people who have several years sober and they are angry and miserable.
Yeah.
And I often want to go up to them and ask them, why do they still do it?
Yeah.
Cause there must be something, it must be better. Even right. if you're still upset about things, even if you're still an angry person, you know, I think, Mark Maron talks a lot about that too, where he's, well, you know, I'm, what does he say? I make better mistakes and I'm working on my anger and stuff like that. And so I think there's clarity and you have the ability to look at the things that need to be fixed in your life.
Yeah.
You have the ability, you have the clarity of mind to say, oh, it wasn't just the alcohol. It wasn't all the alcohol at all anyway. It was my anger issues, or there was depression, or it was the fact that I couldn't, you know, manage money regardless.
Yes.
Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So there's this, you know, this, like you said, that clarity that comes with not drinking.
Yeah. So and then from that point, you decide what you can do about the clarity. You know, about mm-hmm. being able to recognize it. My wife always tells me when I do have a low moment and I am being a dick, you know, I recognize it immediately afterwards. And after I flash and I say, oh, man, I'm being a real dick right now. I can feel it. I'm sorry. I'm being so horrible. And she always says that's the biggest step you're making right now is recognizing it. Now you got to take that second biggest step and like amend it and do something about it and do something consciously to affect your mood, be it, you know, any venue you want to take, whether it's, you know, therapy or doing your own personal work or meditation or even, you know, the big P word, doing some prayer, I guess, you know, like whatever works for you, whatever finds you calmness. And if you can't find that calmness, it's always good to ask another person who's in a similar boat where they find their calmness and maybe try to apply that to your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the
P word,
prayer, right? Because I'm a 42-year-old guy. I grew up in the 90s with punk rock. You know, like prayer, the spiritual concept prayer is like probably better saved for another time when we can really go into depth with it. But, you know, it's always that word. Mm-hmm. That word is always like, you know what? That's the weirdest thing about being in this 12-step program is this, when the spirituality aspect comes up, and I find myself to be a pretty spiritual person, but it's always like when they say the G word or the P word, God or prayer, for me, it always feels like someone farted in an elevator. You know what I mean? Like it's there, you're in it, you're feeling it. Now you either got to accept it and roll with it and just be like, this is pretty rough, or you got to fight it and try to get off of the next floor and, you know, have to walk the rest of the way up the parking garage, you know? Like, it's your choice, but it always felt like that to me when someone busts that shit out, you know? Because I feel it internally, and I'm not really comfortable with throwing it out there in the world all the time. But mm-hmm. I'm also doing a podcast, so, you know, we'll see. Yeah, man.
Yes, the fart in the elevator.
The old recovery fart in the elevator, dude.
And my stop's not till the top of the building.
Yeah, so now we're sitting here. We're in it, so might as well just mm-hmm. gel with it and be with it. Make it become right. one with it, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's probably best left for another episode.
Absolutely, but,
But I think it's important, and I think that well, we'll get into that a later date. But birthdays are very important, and it was a special time, and you know, like I said, we got to go out to dinner, we got to go see a movie. And it was just really awesome to really appreciate it and to really just enjoy it. And when I think back to like birthdays that I had in the past, and I don't want to negate any of the fun, excuse me, any of the fun that might have been had, any of the fun that was had. I mean, there was some fun.
Yeah.
You know, but it was always laden with this undertone of pain and suffering, and you know, we're gonna have this big party and we're gonna get people together and we're gonna have a good time and we're gonna rent a room and we're gonna roast a pig and
oh yeah
and
yeah
all that ends up happening is you are drunk in a cab with your shirt undone, your tie undone, yelling at your girlfriend or your wife, yeah. or having a fight in the street with your friends, throwing a bottle of Chardonnay at somebody's head, whatever it might be. I don't think those were all the same night, but you get what I...
throw a bottle of Chardonnay at someone's head? It wasn't me.
But you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
And so when I think back to all those times at birthdays, and it's just... I've only had three sober birthdays. Have I had three?
Yeah.
Have I only had two? I've only technically had two sober.
Oh, a belly button birthdays. Is
sober birthday birthdays, but I've had three. Yeah, well, yeah, biological birthdays. So when I think about those moments, or just any sort of celebration, to be quite honest, there's an awareness that I really appreciate. That before it was, we're going to get so fucked up tonight.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And it was never awesome, and I was always broke, and ooh, there's some terrifying hangovers on some of those birthdays too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
I just appreciate, the awareness that comes with it.
Yeah. My physical birthday, my biological birthday is in a month. That'll be my fifth sober biological birthday, because I got sober in July and then my birthday's in August. But I remember that a month, like being sober like a month and having my 39th birthday, I think it was. And just, I was pretty bummed. To be honest with you, I was pretty bummed because I was still in the throes of withdrawal and my mind was still thinking like that, you know? So I was just like, wow, this is what it is, huh? And my living situation wasn't the best at that period of time. We were in transition, my entire family was. So I was like, this is all I get.
Did you want to drink?
No, I didn't want to drink, later? But I straight up felt sorry for myself that I couldn't drink. And that a lot through my early recovery, I would feel sorry for myself a lot that I couldn't drink like a normal person. I'd be angry. And I especially remember being angry on that birthday and being like, oh, why can't I be normal? Why can't I be like a normal person and just get completely blackout drunk on my birthday? You know, which is not what fucking normal people do, man. They have like a clam bake and maybe a glass of Chianti or something, you know. But I was just like, why can't I be typical and drink an entire fifth, you know, and then, you know, eat a cake and cry, you know, or whatever it was I did. But as time passed for my biological birthdays, it got better. Like my 40th birthday was great. You know, I had a little more... experience under my belt. Maybe experience is the wrong word. It's just being a little more centered and having that clarity, more clarity under my belt to be able to appreciate it with my daughter, you know, I'm close friends, and it was all low key. Everything, every birthday I've had since then has been super low key. You know, it's just, hey, I'm here, I'm a year older, or hey, I'm here, I'm an additional year sober. Low key. Just give me some pecan pie, man. Maybe some German chocolate cake, and I'm cool, man.
Right?
Right.
I wanted to ask you, and I wanted to bring this up since we're talking about sober birthdays, we're talking about drinking, we're talking about biological birthdays. In 2017, I put together what we used to do a lot of, which was, excuse me, a Pisces party.
Yeah, the Pisces party.
And there's the real quick backstory to this is that there were a lot of us that were all born around the same time. So it just made more sense to have one single party for the entire group rather than, and it was a reason to party. But so it was my 40th birthday. It was my second sober biological birthday. Maybe it was my first. Anyhow, it was 2017 and I called up a bunch of people and we organized this whole thing and I got a room in downtown San Francisco and we got to go to the, what's it called? Not the Lava Lounge. Why am I forgetting the Tonga Room? And big party. And I got like 20 some people that I've known for years and years and years. And I asked Jerry, I said, hey, Jerry, do you want to, you know, you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you mind talking about
this. No, not at all. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
I got an extra room for you.
Oh, shit.
You can come, you know, I'll pick you up at the airport or the train station.
Yeah.
And I remember I would be texting with Jerry and I was like, hey, man, and I didn't get like quick responses or they were kind of vague or... you know, I remember you saying, I'm not really sure about the train. And so I would download the Amtrak app and I was like, here you go. Here's the train. Here's when it leaves. Here's when it shows up, man. I'd really love for you to be there. It's my 40th birthday. All of our old friends are going to be there. Yeah. It'll be awesome. You should totally come. You know, we'll go to a meeting or something. And it was like forever before I finally got a answer from you was definitive.
Yeah.
And maybe, and you said, no, I can't make it. I can't make it.
Yeah.
And maybe you want to, I think you said you didn't have enough money or something like that, which I don't know. I mean, that may have been
true. That was partly the case. Yeah. You ever try to put, this is going to sound really weird. Have you ever tried to teach a child how to swim? No. So when I was teaching my daughter how to swim, she was really good with the shallow end, but the minute I would take her out into the deep end, it was panic. Like she would freak out. She couldn't handle how deep it was. She was afraid that I would drop her or she would drown, or there was that instinctual fear of being in deep water. And that was exactly what I felt with this Pisces party, because initially I was really excited to go and I was way down to go. And we were having money issues at that point in time, because that's like the slowest period of time in my job. But I figured I could put a sum aside and get it going. And me not answering quickly wasn't necessarily me trying to be flaky. It was really me parsing it over and like rolling it over in my mind whether or not I was ready to get into that deep end of the pool, because you got to put in mind I hadn't traveled at all sober. I hadn't been anywhere sober. I'd just stayed in Eugene. I hadn't been home. God, I went home for the first time ever in 3 years last summer. So I hadn't gone anywhere sober. And then to top it off, like all my favorite drinkers were there. I would be traveling. I'd have a lot of like spare time, and it fucking scared the shit out of me. It gave me anxiety to think about it, about being on a train alone for that long with nothing to do but just be me, and then being around all my favorite drunks. You know, I mean, I don't want to call my good friends drunks, but you know, they're my favorite people to drink with. You know, and then being away from home, and then the money thing piled on top of it, and all the pressure from all of that, it just kind of imploded. But a lot of the time, yeah, I came off really flaky, and I absolutely was probably being flaky, but I also know that what was going on with me internally was that fear. It was straight up fear, and that dictated a lot of what I did during that period of time. Now, I'd go now. I'd do it now, because I've traveled since then. I had gotten to the deep end of the pool. You know, I took a train home from Arizona, and I'm not a great flyer, you know, but I'm a great train rider. And I realized, like, this is nothing. It's 2018. I don't need to drink on a train. I'm not just stuck here with a sketchbook and a bottle of whiskey. Like, I can put everything on an iPad and just watch Netflix. I can just binge Kimmy Schmidt for 8 hours or whatever. And, Yeah, so a lot of it, I felt really bad for letting you down. So yeah, I'll make amends. I'm sorry for letting you down.
Well,
I didn't realize that you had rented me a room. My God damn, dude, I feel like such a dick right
it's
now.
It's okay. I didn't. I was able to cancel the room. There was right. no money lost.
Oh,
I wasn't
okay.
that. My intention was not to get an apology out of
no,
you.
No, I know.
We
it
already
wasn't,
discussed
no.
this.
Dude, we're not fishing over a podcast for apologies. I get it. Yeah, but I still feel that
but
remorse.
It was,
you know.
I know exactly how you felt because mm-hmm. I was there and I had some very similar feelings when I was putting this all together and
right.
thinking, oh, okay, well, and I thought to myself, well, I'm not gonna drink with these people or I'm not gonna drink at all, but is it gonna be okay? Is it gonna be comfortable? Is it gonna be awkward? Is it gonna be, you know, how is it gonna be? How am I going to interact with these people as they all get loaded on my birthday?
Yeah.
And to be honest, we had dinner. Everybody had a few drinks. I got to see some people that I hadn't seen in a long time. And then I went to bed.
Yeah.
The lady and I went upstairs to the room and we went to bed. And I don't know what everybody else did. I heard somebody, you know, peed on a windowsill and something else happened. And
sounds about right though. Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to be a part of that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was, I feel your pain as far as the anxiety, but part of why I was doing it, you know, and somebody else had inspired it and said, hey, we should really do this and all get together and so on and so forth. And I really wanted to test myself and I wanted to, for me, it was that deep water. And I said, well, I just need to jump in because if I can do this, then I can go into any place and go deal with anything.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a test that I had put myself through
yeah.
for that. So it was, we'll do it again. It'll happen again.
I think we should do it again. Yeah. Because I'm just going to show up completely fucking fabulous this time. You have no idea. I'm just going to show up. I'm going to be like that ugly girl in high school and show up and look like a 24. I'll go beyond a 10. I'll be a 24. But yeah, it was fear, and fear is a good one. Fear is also part of the birthday thing in a way, because hopefully you're celebrating that anniversary or that biological birthday, and you're learning how to let go of the fear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a lot of big strides since then. Well, that wasn't last year. That was in 2016.
No, that was
17. That last year, dude.
That was,
oh geez.
No, because I just turned 41. That was last year.
Damn. Well, I ain't scared no more.
Well, that's good. We'll do it again. You know, the other thing I wanted to say about birthdays is there's a really great Reddit subreddit that talks about, what is it called? Stop drinking.
Yeah, stop drinking. Mm-hmm.
And I remember I signed up for it, and then you get the little marker, and it tells you how many days you've been sober.
Yeah.
And I'd watch this little counter, and even in the first year. And I was like, damn, I'm not going to make it to 365, that's mm-hmm. impossible. And then now it's what, over 1,000 days
yeah.
sober, whatever it is. And mm-hmm. I certainly don't check it as much as I used to. And I'm not really a counter per se.
Yeah.
But it's just a good marker. And you kind of, again, I think as an alcoholic, one of the things I am very quick to do is to judge myself and to negate the achievements that I have made, you know, and I'm
right.
learning better and better to not do that as
right.
much
mm-hmm.
to, I have one of the things I have written up on my wall, on my board is, achievements, not indulgence. And that just sort of, that goes with everything. That's
right.
Whether or not you want to have a drink, whether or not I should go for a swim, or I should, you know, have 3 donuts. So
yeah. right.
those
yeah.
kinds of things.
Yeah.
But not being a counter so much, I did want to read a quote from one of my favorite fictional sober alcoholics. And you may remember the TV show House of Cards, and there was a character named Doug Stamper.
Weird. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was an alcoholic, and he talked about counting the days, and I just want to read this real quick because I love this quote. And he says, "I'm Doug and I'm an alcoholic. One of the things I do for a living is count. I count votes, yays, nays, neutrals, abstaining, and I'm good at it. But the most important count I do has nothing to do with work. It's the number of days since April 4th, 1999. As of this morning, that's 5,185. The bigger that number gets, the more it frightens me, because I know all it takes is one drink to go back to zero. Most people see fear as a weakness. It can be. Sometimes, for my job, I have to put fear into other people. I know that's not right, but if I'm honest, like the fourth step asks us to be, I have to be ruthless, because failure is not an option. The same goes for my sobriety. I have to be ruthless with myself. I have to use my fear. It makes me stronger. Like everyone else in this room, I can't control who I am, but I can control zero. Fuck the zero."
Yeah. Word. That's so good.
You know, he's an intense character, but
I never watched House of Cards.
Oh.
I watched like the first four episodes, but that's a great quote. You know, the other thing you got to look at when you're looking at the counter is, like, you know, if you end up losing that time, you end up relapsing and going out, it's not like you've lost that time. You shouldn't look at it as a precious thing that you will lose. You should really look at it as a record of your achievement and look what you've done. You know, it's the best way to look at it. Like, you know, you've got, you know, I think I'm like 1400 and some days or something. And I just got maybe more. And I look at it and I'm like, this is what I've accomplished. This is not what I'm going to lose. It's not what I have to sacrifice if I go back out again. I just need to have the hope that if I can accomplish that, I can accomplish just today, you know? So,
yeah. Well, I just wanted to say thank you and happy birthday, Jerry.
Yeah, thank you and happy birthday to you, John.
Thanks again for listening. As always, our music is by Neglect. You can find his stuff at neglectsound.bandcamp.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can listen to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. And get a hold of us at aisforalcoholic@gmail.com.